Just a few brief thoughts and scriptures. When I saw the loaf on the table this morning, it brought before me that it represented really two bodies. Now I'd like to turn to a few scriptures which will make this very plain and simple. First of all, may we turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child was born in Bethlehem. The son was from all eternity. I'll just read the rest of the verse. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is born. May we turn to Hebrews 10. I believe there are seven scriptures in connection with the Lord's body. 10th chapter of Hebrews and verse 5. This seems to agree with the verse we've just read. Unto us a child is born. Verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Here we have God the Father prepared him a body, prepared an incarnation, a body for the blessed Lord. The Son of God became the Son of Man in order that the sons of men might become the sons of God. So we find here a body was prepared for this Blessed One to come down here to glorify his Father and to redeem mankind. Here we have then a body, hast thou prepared me? Prepared an incarnation. Now the 10th verse, same chapter, by the which will, or I should read verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Here we have that precious body which was prepared by God the Father for him, offered in sacrifice. And this body which was prepared for him was the body in which he accomplished the will of God here on earth. It was in this body that he suffered for your sins and mine, beloved. Yes, in this same body he hung upon the cross as the sin bearer. So this is a very solemn verse, the 10th verse, by the which will we are sanctified or set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. A body offered in sacrifice for you and me. What matchless love to think that Blessed One, the eternal Son of God, the babe born in Bethlehem, should come down here and go to that cross to do the will of his Father, whatever it might cost him, to glorify his Father and to finish that great and mighty work of redemption for you and me, that we might be redeemed by his precious blood, that we might be brought into eternal blessing. and into eternal relationship with God the Father and His beloved Son. So first of all, in verse 5, we have this body prepared in incarnation. The 10th verse, His body was offered in sacrifice. And what a sacrifice! This was the only sacrifice God the Father could accept and delight in, because it was a sacrifice and an offering of a sweet-smelling savour to God the Father. A perfect burnt offering, first of all, and the burnt offering is for God. So His first thought and object was to glorify His Father, which He did perfectly in every step of His pathway. And He also came to seek and to save that which was lost. And now may we turn to the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11, and verse 24. Our brother read this morning, I believe. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." So that loaf then on the table this morning represented, in the first aspect, the body of Christ. "This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." What a precious privilege it was that you and I had to respond to His desire this morning. The brother remarked it could be the last occasion, and it well might. As things are, it looks as if the Lord might come this very day. So here we have this thought. I know it says in John 19, is it? John 19, "A bone of Him shall not be broken." That's true. But can you imagine those cruel soldiers driving those awful nails through His blessed hands without breaking a bone? There are lots of bones in the hand, but not a bone should be broken. God said, "A bone of Him shall not be broken." But, beloved, when we think of that broken flesh, His broken body, can we not say, in the language of this verse, or rather what He said, "This is My body which is broken for you"? Was His blessed side not broken open? Were not His feet broken open with those wretched, awful, wicked, cruel nails? I believe we can read it this way. But I do maintain the truth concerning the bones. "A bone of Him shall not be broken." And we read when the soldiers came to break the legs of the first and the other, when they came to Jesus and found that He was dead already, they break not His legs. No, they couldn't do that. God would not permit it. He had said, "A bone of Him shall not be broken." And so they bypassed the blessed Lord. They did not break His legs. He was dead already. Well, here then we find His body, shall we say, broken in judgment on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. How this should solemnize our hearts, beloved, when we realize what the blessed Lord went through on the cross of Calvary for us. We're reminded of that this morning. But what He suffered at the hands of wicked men was as nothing compared with what He suffered under the hand of a holy God. When man had done his worst and could go no further, then God poured that awful judgment upon His blessed, devoted head. How solemn the thought! Yet He was the sinless one. We're reading this morning, "Awake, O sword, against My shepherd." Why? Why against My shepherd? "Awake, O sword, against My shepherd, against the man that is My fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd." Why smite the shepherd? He was the good shepherd. Why should he be smitten? Well, beloved, it was either the shepherd or the sheep. And so the blessed Lord, in his infinite love to us, took our place and was smitten, that you and I might not be smitten for our sins. He was not smitten for his sins, but he was smitten for ours. He took our place there on the cross of Calvary. So can we not read it this way? This is my body, which is broken for you, broken in judgment. Then a verse in John 19, verse 40. 19:40. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Then took they the body of Jesus. Here we have his precious body in death, buried in death. How solemn this is. That blessed one who came down here to do the will of his Father. Man said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Away with him. Crucify him. And they did. But thank God they did not take his life. He could say, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. No man taketh it from me. This commandment have I received of my Father. Man did not take the life of Christ. He crucified him. But, dear friends, he plainly states himself, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. It was of his own voluntary will that he laid down his life, a sacrifice for you and for me, there on the cross. So here we have this 40th verse of John 19, this precious body of Jesus buried in death. Now the 24th chapter of Luke, verse 39, Luke 24:39. He says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Here his precious body was witnessed in resurrection. That same precious body which went into death is now witnessed in resurrection. John speaks of his hands and his side. His side. Here, Luke speaks of his hands and his feet. Well, I suppose it's typical of John to think of his side, because he leaned upon Jesus' bosom and occupied a near place for the heart of Christ. So he speaks of his side. His side. Here it's his hands and his feet. So in this verse then we find his body was witnessed in resurrection. Now Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Who shall change? I should read the latter part of verse 20. The Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile body? Our body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. How wonderful to see here his body glorified in ascension. And to think too, beloved, that you and I are going to have a glorified body too. Yes, we are. Very soon, maybe today. But here we find this blessed one, this body, it says, fashioned like unto his glorious body. It's glorified in ascension. And 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. His body discerned in communion. What a solemn statement concerning those who do not discern his body. I knew of two young men who went to a church, and when they came out, they said this in my wife's hearing and mine: "We had a good drink this morning. We went up the front and had a good drink of wine." What a solemn thing for them to boast about. It says here, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Here we have his body then discerned in communion. So the Lord Jesus really has two bodies, and they're both represented in that loaf we had on the table this morning. His own body, of which we've been reading in these various scriptures, and his body, the church, mystic body. Two bodies in the one loaf. And these two bodies, beloved, are going to be side by side throughout all eternity. This blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming, his glorified body. He's going to change our vile bodies, or bodies of humiliation, like unto his own glorious body. So there will be two bodies, so to speak, his own body and his body, the church, to be together throughout eternity in that bright and happy scene above. In 1 Corinthians 12, and verse 12, says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." That's his church, which is his body. So that loaf then really represented two bodies this morning. Christ's own body and his body, the church, of which every believer is a member. And we do not remember the Lord as sinners saved by grace, but as members of the body of Christ. I think this is very sweet and precious, and it says in verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Members in particular in our individual testimony for Christ in the world. I think that's a very striking verse. Members in particular. In other words, we have our own particular responsibility as a member of the body of Christ. But how precious to realize then that these two bodies are going to be side by side throughout all eternity. The one marred more than any man's, the other he's going to present to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And it may take place today. Oh, beloved, what a glorious hope we have to think that we're going to be exactly like our blessed Lord. He has his glorified body, and you and I are going to have ours very soon, too. And so these two bodies, his body, the church, and his own body, are going to be together in that bright and happy scene above forever. Very beautiful. I suppose we can really say, I have to be careful how I put it perhaps we can say the first body is the explanation of the second, and the second is the outcome of the first. I believe that's right. But the thought occurred to me when I saw that big loaf on the table this morning. It represents two bodies. The body of Christ, which hung upon that cross, which was prepared by God the Father for him, to come down here and to do the Father's will, and to seek and to save the lost. But before he could do that, he had to go to the cross. And we've looked at those various scriptures in connection with his pathway from the time he was a babe born in Bethlehem till he receives his glorified body in ascension. Now he's up there in his glorified body. We sometimes sing, on the Father's throne is seated Christ the Lord, the living one. That's where he is now, beloved. I was thinking in Matthew 3, it tells us there the heavens were opened to gaze upon that blessed man down here on earth. But in Hebrews we find the heavens are opened that you and I might gaze upon that same man up there. As the Apostle Paul says, but we see Jesus. Hebrews 2. But verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So now in Matthew 3, after he was baptized, we find the heavens were opened upon this blessed one. Heaven was gazing upon that man down here on earth. Now the heavens are open that we might gaze upon that same man in heaven, glorified, crowned with glory and honor. Oh, how it should rejoice our hearts to know he's there. No longer on the cross, no longer in the grave, but risen, ascended, and glorified. Well, I just repeat again that one note brought these thoughts before me, and it's very precious to realize that we are members of his body, the church. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The question is very often asked, as we know, what church do you belong to? Well, the only answer is what we just quoted in Ephesians 5. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, one. And every true believer is a member of that church, which is his body. Yes, it belongs to him. It's his body. The church belongs to Christ. He bought it with his own blood. Well, I trust your heart and mine might be encouraged by these few scriptures we read together to realize that at any moment we're going to receive our new body, glorified body, like unto his own body of glory, and be forever with him, and bright scene above, to thank him and to praise him throughout eternity for his infinite love and for all that he's accomplished, first of all for the glory of God, and for our eternal blessing and salvation.